Let's just be still for a couple of moments before Carol comes to give us the reading. Thank you that it is your breath in our lungs that we are here because you breathe in us. Just be here by your spirit as we listen to your word read and as we listen to Christy speak to us, that you will be speaking to us, Lord.
First reading is on page 1152 of the Blue Bibles. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them all. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The next reading is on page 1094 of the Church Bible. It's Acts 3, 1 to 11. Peter heals a lame beggar. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
You are here with us. We thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves and that you love us. Would you fill us afresh? Would you say what you want to say? Would you do what you want to do in and through us? For the glory of your name. Amen.
Okay.
And And normally I really don't like it when people speak when I'm speaking. Am I on? That's all right. Normally I don't like it when people talk when I'm talking. But I'm really hoping that as I speak this morning, God's going to be putting things on your heart, saying things to us, stirring our hearts up and showing us things. So please do not wait until I finish speaking to receive what God has for you this morning. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Christy. I have struggled for 8.5 years with quite restrictive health issues. And God has healed me miraculously of one thing, yay. And then my body threw some more at me. So at the moment, it's not really fixable. So the prognosis is unless God steps in, then I am probably going to be in a significant amount of pain and have various other health issues for the rest of my life. I'm just saying this because I want you to know that I'm not standing up here 100% healthy. And actually, I think all of us need healing in one way or another. And I also just want to clarify that whenever I talk about healing, unless stated otherwise, I'm not just talking about physical healing, although that is a part of it, but mental healing. You know, mental health is a big issue as well. But I believe that God is the God who binds up the brokenhearted and sets the captives free, and that's freedom from shame and fear and addiction and so many other things. And a lot of the healing that I've seen, a lot of the healing that I've received has been inner healing, as well as physical healing. But I'm not by any means an expert. I don't really think anyone understands these things fully because they're kind of God things and not human things. And I just want to start with acknowledging that talking about faith and healing and miracles is a little bit weird and a little bit scary and a little bit intimidating. So if you are feeling uncomfortable right now, you are not the only one. But I think today God wants to just come and make it a little bit less abstract for us. So Father, we pray that's what you would do. I don't know about you, but when I read this passage from Acts, my initial response is that Peter and John had such an anointing from God and such an epic ministry, and the idea of them healing a random guy on the street is incredibly cool. But that is never going to be me. I don't know if anyone else is in that particular boat. Yeah, getting some nods. I think it's so easy to put that kind of thing in a box and say, that is just not what I'm called to. That is not God's plan for me. And I think today God wants to challenge us a little bit about our expectations and our willingness to be used by him. And I'm preaching to myself as much as anyone else. Because actually I believe that not only are spiritual gifts available to all of us, you don't have to be super holy to receive them. But I believe that God wants to use every single one of us for his glory. And that probably won't be for all of us, this kind of go out on the streets and heal random people ministry. I mean, it might be. That would be cool. But I believe that the church is God's restoration plan for this earth. And I'm not just talking about the establishment. I'm not just talking about the leaders. I'm talking about you and me, the people of God, living in the presence of God, filled with the power of God. We are God's hands and feet, and actually, whatever part we play in that, we need to be filled with faith and power from the Holy Spirit. God is a God of power and freedom, and he wants to bring that healing and freedom to us so that we might have hope and life. But he also wants to bring healing and freedom through us so that the world might have hope and life. So what exactly does that look like, and how do we go about living lives that are marked by faith and power from the Holy Spirit? I think, like I say, it's quite easy to get a little bit overwhelmed and intimidated by this topic, and we don't really know where to start. And for me,
This passage in particular used to really confuse me, because over the last 8.5 years, I've had various people command my body to do various things, command healing to me in the name of Jesus, and nothing has happened. And it's a little bit awkward. And you're thinking, okay, so did they not have enough faith? Did I not have enough faith? Did they just say the wrong thing? And why did it work for Peter and this guy, but it didn't work for me? And the whole idea of praying for someone, I mean, even just a friend, never mind some random guy you find in the street, is kind of daunting. And walking up to some random guy and just pulling him up, knowing he's lame, is a little bit crazy from a human perspective. So for a while, I just kind of ignored the issue. But then God showed me that the key to understanding this passage is to go back a chapter, to Acts chapter 2 and Pentecost. Because what I think is happening here isn't that Peter was just a super holy guy or like extra special, or that he knew a secret code that would unlock God's healing that we don't know. I think he was just so full of the Holy Spirit that he heard God point this guy out and say, I want to heal him. And Peter had faith from the Holy Spirit that God could actually do that. And so he stepped out in obedience and the guy was healed. It can be so easy to think that healing and miracles and acts of amazing faith start with us taking a huge leap into the unknown, a bold step out. But actually, that's not where it starts. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so it starts with being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, I will make you my witnesses to the ends of the earth. But he doesn't say, now go do it. He actually starts before that by saying, wait. Wait in Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power. If we are seeking to live lives set on fire for God, filled with his power, for whatever ministry he's called us to, for whatever life he's called us to, it starts with waiting on him. It starts with being filled with the Holy Spirit and clothed with power. It doesn't start with us at all. It starts with him. And so our job is to ask him to fill us, to open ourselves up to be available for what he wants to do. And I don't know about you, but to me that seems just a little bit less scary than going out and trying to heal people in the name of Jesus. Because ultimately, it's about relationship with a God who loves us and who loves the world. So, we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to spend time in his presence. And from that place of intimacy with God, it's then about surrender. It's about saying, God, how do you want to use me? Peter was open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, just like Catherine was open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to pray for Sheila's lungs. Peter had walked past this guy before, with Jesus. And Jesus hadn't healed him. And nothing had happened. But he was listening to what God was saying. And I feel like this is a place where God wants to bring us to as a church, where every day we are saying, okay, God, here I am. Use me. And we listen for his prompting. And then comes a step. But it's not a huge step in our own confidence into the unknown. It's a step of faith and obedience towards God as he leads us in his plans. prayer and acts of faith and power aren't about being bold and hoping that the Holy Spirit shows up. They're about letting God lead and then asking him for the faith we need to follow. And faith isn't just about believing that God can do impossible things. Sometimes that's a big part of it, and God will point out a bad situation and say, I want to fix this. And will ask us to pray or to act accordingly. But faith is also about God giving us his perspective on things. If our faith is only, I believe God can heal and do miracles, it's going to leave us disappointed and confused. Because God doesn't always do exactly what we want him to do. And we as humans have such a fix-it mentality. If something is wrong, it must be fixed straight away. That's how we make it better. But God sees the bigger picture. Even Paul in the Bible, who performed loads of healings and miracles, cried out to God for healing for himself 3 times. For him, that's a lot. And God didn't do it. And it wasn't because Paul was praying wrong. It certainly was because he didn't have enough faith. We've seen that before. Faith isn't just about believing that God can fix the mess. It's about believing that God is faithful and he will come through in the midst of the mess. And that if he wants to, God can use the mess for his glory and our good. And that's why it's so important to have a theology of suffering alongside a theology of healing, because one without the other is incomplete. But just because God doesn't always come through the way we want him to, doesn't mean he doesn't want to do anything. The amount of times I've been being prayed for, usually for healing, and God has said to me while I'm being prayed for, I'm not going to heal you today, Christy. Not physically. But let me help you sort out your heart. Let me come into this pain that you're holding. Let me help you with this. Let me speak words of life and hope into you. Let me draw near to you. Because ultimately, what we all need, whether we need physical healing or emotional healing, whatever needs we can see, what we all need is more of him. And that's why my favorite way of doing prayer ministry, my favorite way of receiving prayer ministry, is praying, Holy Spirit, come, and then waiting and listening and letting him lead what I pray. Because life and prayer in faith, whether it's ministry prayer or intercessory prayer, are as much about listening as they are about talking or doing. Let's not be so busy asking God to do what we think he should do that we miss out on what he wants to do. And don't get me wrong here, telling God what is on our hearts and pouring out our hearts to him is such an important part of our prayer life. And God loves it when we do that. But it's also important that we listen to what's on God's heart. Faith says, God, what are you doing? What are you wanting to do? And how do you want me to pray or to act to partner with you in that? And we leave the results up to him. And as God begins to show us the world in the way that he sees it, he begins to fill us with his heart for the world and the people around us. Because actually, compassion and love are such an important part of any kind of ministry. So many times before Jesus does a miracle, before Jesus heals someone in the Bible, it says he was filled with compassion. And that's a spiritual gift, even though it isn't in that list. Compassion is so important because it's about love. It's not about signs and wonders for the sake of signs and wonders. God's heart breaks for the brokenness in this world because he loves his creation. And what would the world look like if our hearts broke for those around us? What if we were filled with God's love for our colleagues, for our students, for our friends and our family who need God's healing touch in their lives? And what if we weren't only filled with God's heart for the world, but we were filled with God's hope for the world? God, would you show us the way that you see things? And would you give us your heart, break our hearts, Lord, for what is breaking yours? And these aren't things that we can manufacture on our own. They are things that God does in us. We ask him to. That's our job, is asking for it. We seek him, we spend time with him, whether that's through prayer, worship, Bible study, or being in Christian community. It starts, like I said, with being filled more and more with the presence of God, surrendering fully to him, listening to what he wants to do, and stepping out in obedience as he calls us and when he calls us to, whether that's through prayer or action. But there are a few things that I think get in the way of this, and I think God wants to talk to us about those this morning. The first of those things is fear. We hear stories like the one about Peter and the lame guy, and we're like, no way. Just no. Because it's scary. Like the idea of walking out onto the street and healing someone, it's scary. And we like control. And stepping out in faith, whether it's through action or prayer, means that we're not in control. And that is scary. But I think this morning God wants to tell us that it's okay to be afraid. That's part of our human nature. It's okay to be afraid. What's not okay is to let that fear stop us from doing what God wants us to do. Let's come to a place where we can admit to God, we can be like, you know what? The thought of doing anything for you terrifies me because I don't know what you're going to ask me to do. Let's come to a place where we could admit it. Bring that fear to God and say, Holy Spirit, give us faith that is stronger than our fear. Help us to trust you. Help us to surrender to you. Give us boldness that we need to step out in obedience to you. Be encouraged this morning that the Holy Spirit loves you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he's not going to lead you down a path that is bad and will make your life miserable. And usually, and I never say never when it comes to God, but I found more often than not, God will start with a small step. So don't let big stories like this put you off asking God what he wants you to do. Because he teaches us and he trains us step by step. And when God asks us to step out in faith, he will always come through for us. Not necessarily in the way we expect, but in the way that is best for our good, for the good of others, and for his glory. And honestly, yes, he might well ask us to do things that make us uncomfortable or that we can't do on our own. But a church that is comfortable isn't likely to change the world. And we're not on our own. Jesus isn't in the boat saying, off you go onto the water. Bye. Jesus is already on the water and he's calling us, come. We're stepping towards him. And he is always right there, ready to help us if we start to sink. And that, I believe, is his invitation to us this morning. Come. Just come closer. Another thing that gets in the way of us living in faith and power is that we are afraid we will let God down. That God can't, doesn't, or shouldn't want to use us because we're just not good enough. One of the devil's biggest ploys is to try and get us to put our own inability in front of God's ability. And so we stop asking God what he wants us to do because we just don't see the point. Or we'll say, tell you what, God, I'll do anything inside this little box. But don't ask me to go out there because I will fail. And we live in a culture that says we have to be strong enough. We have to have it together 100% of the time. Weakness is seen as something to be ashamed of and something to hide. And anything less than perfection, 100% of the time, is failing. But the Bible is so the opposite of that. And God tells us that actually his power is made perfect in our weakness. God often chooses the unlikely and the weak to fulfill his purposes. So let's stop counting ourselves out of God's plan for this world. When he chose you for his team, he wasn't just making up the numbers. He loves you and he wants to use you and he knows your weaknesses. And when we say, I'm just not good enough for God to use me, what we're saying is that our weaknesses are greater than God's power, which just isn't true. And that's one of the reasons why worship is so important, is because it gets our eyes off of ourselves and onto God where they belong. And when we do that, we can see that he is almighty and nothing is impossible for him. He didn't walk on water and turn water into wine and do all these amazing miracles. And then he's like, well, I can't use you because you're an introvert. Or I can't use you because you're not very good at talking to people. Or remember that time when you messed up? God's not like that. Nothing is impossible for him. And actually, God can use all those things that make us feel inadequate to make us rely on him even more. And to bring even more glory to his name. And the whole point of moving in the power of the Holy Spirit is that it's not about what we can do. It's about what God can do through us. And when God calls us to do something, whether it's a prayer, whether it's action, he will provide everything we need in order to be able to do it through his power. God isn't looking for people who are fully able. He's looking for people who are fully available. So, fear and insecurity get in the way of us being open to what God wants to do in and through us. And the last thing I want to talk about that gets in the way is disappointment. And I think we've all had experiences of really begging God to come through in a situation. And he hasn't done what we desperately wanted him to do. And that's hard. And that leaves us hurting and questioning, where was God and why didn't he step in? And how could he let this happen if he really loves me? And we don't necessarily talk about these things because it doesn't seem very Christian. But we hold them in our hearts. And pain can very quickly turn into doubt and anger and bitterness. How can we draw near to God and surrender to him if we don't feel like we can trust him? If we feel like, actually, I feel like God has let me down. I think God is inviting some of us this morning to bring those feelings to him. And to ask him to meet us in the midst of that hurt. And actually, maybe for some of us, the faith we need God to give us this morning is faith to trust him in our own lives. And what we need is to be filled with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying God can't use broken people. That's not at all what I'm saying. If God couldn't use broken people, then he wouldn't be able to use anyone. God can use us despite of our fear and insecurities and disappointment. And God often uses us at our lowest points. But sometimes those things get in the way of our closeness with God and our willingness to surrender to him and trust in him. God doesn't need to make us perfect in order to use us. But sometimes we need God to heal us and set us free so that we might be free to live as he's called us to and to partner with him in bringing that healing to the world around us. And the only way to deal with fear, insecurity, disappointment, and anything else that might be getting in the way of us living how God wants to isn't by trying harder. It's not by getting all the thoughts right in our head. It's not by listening to really good talks. It's by the healing touch of the Holy Spirit. It's by inviting him to fill us and to do in our hearts and our minds whatever he wants to do. We need him. God is calling us this morning to go deeper with him. He's calling us to more of him. We've seen him do so many amazing things this series, but he's calling us to more. He's calling us to work in partnership with him. And it might mean stepping out of our comfort zones. It might mean giving up our time and setting aside our agenda. It might mean taking up our crosses and following him. But it's what we're made for. And he will not let us down. And he will be everything that we need. We don't even need to provide the faith, because he'll do that. He'll provide the faith and the power. All we need to do is seek him and say yes to him. The world and the people around us need the healing and the power that God brings. They need God's love and power, and that is living inside of us. Let us be a church that says, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." God, would you help us to pray that prayer today and every day? Amen.
We're just going to spend some time so we can reflect on what God's been saying to us. We can just be in an attitude of prayer, and whatever you find helpful, whether it's holding your hands open to receive or not, it's up to you. Do you pray, "Come, Holy Spirit"? God has been speaking to you might want to just give that back to him now in silent prayer, or you might want to pray with someone around you. There will be prayer ministry after the service as well if you want. There's something particularly on your heart that you need, know you need to pray with someone else about. Come, Holy Spirit, meet us in our needs where we have our fear and insecurity. Lord, if we've been disappointed, bring your healing there. Holy Spirit, help us have that deeper relationship with Jesus. Steve plays and leads in worship, you might want to remain in prayer, that's fine. I say you might want to pray with other people. If God has been speaking to you in a particular way and you want to share that, then and you can come up and do that, or you can write on our What's God Been Saying board. Let us spend some time in God's presence.